Welcome back. You're at module 6 right now, and today in this module we're going to go through networking, the art of networking. Now, networking is probably one of the most important modules, and I know I say that often in these modules because every module is important, but networking will actually get you a position before the position is posted. So you don't have to go through the application process. Now, does that sound pretty appetizing? It does to me, and we're going to go into detail in just a minute, but before we start, let's just go define what networking really is, because a lot of people throw the word around, but they really don't know what it is. Essentially, network is colleagues within and around a certain field that share information, resources, and interact on a professional and casual level. That's essentially it. But there's a lot more to it in terms of building a network. So we're going to learn a lot in this module. And this is what you're going to learn. Essentially, you're going to learn the benefits of the old-fashioned networking before internet was introduced. And how to build your network today through conferences, social medias, email, things like that. You're also going to learn how to sell yourself properly, like a business, not just like an aggressive person who doesn't know what they're talking about. And you're also going to keep your network thinking about you. You're going to learn how to make sure that you're always in the back of their minds and that they think of you when a job opportunity comes up, they're emailing you and they're saying, hey, you know what, you should look this up. This is right down your alley. So let's get started. Old-fashioned networking. So face-to-face meetings have become more personal and memorable. When you're speaking with somebody face-to-face, you tend to look at their eyes, their mannerisms, what they're wearing, how they're speaking, and you build some sort of connection. You remember their face, you remember their charm, and you connect with them on whatever level, you know, usually a professional level. And this helps you in remembering people. So when you have a network and your network starts to grow and grow and grow, and you've just been to a conference, you're gonna meet people and you're gonna say, okay, I remember so and so, I remember this. You'll look at the business cards and you'll say, okay, I remember this person, you know, she was wearing this, we were talking about this. I remember this person, you know, he was a bit older, but I remember he had that charm, you know, and he was talking about this kind of subject. And you remember those people because it was a face-to-face meeting. And in time, what happens is that connection can help you find a job because they know you and they feel comfortable with you and they want to help you out as much as possible. Now, let's look at how networking at conferences can really benefit you. When you go to a conference, you want to make sure that that is the major opportunity for networking. So what you want to know is, who are you going to approach? So before the conference even begins, before you travel to a certain place and you go to a conference, you want to find out who would be your top five people that you want to get their contact information and you want to speak to. So what you do is you try and find out who's going to go. Now, how do you find out who's going to go? Well, you look at the program that they release before the conference, and you'll see who are the guest speakers, who are the speakers at the poster sessions, who are the speakers at the presentations that you're going to see. You can find and you can read a brief bio on them. You can go on their website because they'll have their contact info. They'll have like their website and their email, or maybe not even email, but a website like a university associated. So you can do your research beforehand, and you can have a list of five or six people that you want to talk to and get their contact information, that they will be beneficial to your network. Just based on, you can have more, but just based on the program. Okay, it's that easy. When you're at the conference, you want to know who you're going to speak to. You know, how are you going to approach people? Well, you want to speak to people you feel comfortable with, because if you don't feel comfortable with somebody, you try and force yourself on someone, they see how nervous you are. They see that, you know, you're not quite comfortable, and it leaves a bad taste in the mouth. They may not remember you in a good manner. Okay, so you want to speak to people that you feel comfortable with. They're not intimidating. They're just kind of nice, unless you know what they're like or somebody can introduce you. You don't want to just approach just anybody, but people who you feel comfortable with. Then what you want to do is you want to speak to good people to approach are the people who are presenting in the different sessions. They're already talking. They're talking about a subject matter that they know best. You can ask questions. You can make a comment. You know, you can discuss their presentation after the presentation or during the question period during the presentation. You know, it's it's easier because there's more of an introduction. They've been speaking. You feel more comfortable with them because they've been speaking for so long. You get to judge their character and what they're like, if they're aggressive, if they're not aggressive, if they're really approachable, things like that. I find when I first went to conferences, those are the people who I approached the easiest. They were the best people to approach. So people who present at the sessions are very good to approach. Then you also want to try a different tactic, and this takes a little more courage. But when you're at lunch or a break or things like that, and you're in this big hall, and there's tables, round tables all over the place, and there's people sitting, and there's some empty spots all over the place, don't sit with the people that you already know, okay? Because those are people in your network. You can probably communicate if you know them. Then, you know, you'll be able to communicate with them after, either over the phone or on email or things like that. What you want to do is sit at a table where you don't know anyone. Okay. Again, if they make you feel comfortable, sit down, and the conversation will just come organically from there. People will ask you, oh, you know, where are you from? Who do you work with? Things like that. You tell them. You start a conversation. You ask the same question to them, and then you say, oh, we do this. And you start, you know, conversation is generated. Okay. And then when you leave the table, you say, hey, you know, I had a really good time chatting with you. You know, maybe we can keep in touch. Here's my business card. And try and get their business card as well, or try and get their contact information. It always helps, and it makes the conference a lot better once you start knowing people, because you're going to see them in the hall, you're going to see them at different presentations, you'll get to know them better, and probably by the end of the weekend, you'll get to know a lot of people just by using that technique. Then you want to attend as many workshops as possible at conferences. Now, I know some of the conferences, the workshops are quite expensive. They can be over $100 or so. Some are like $35. Some are free. But you want to try to attend as many as possible, because when in workshops, you tend to interact with other people more often. Sometimes you break into smaller groups. Other times, there's just a general discussion going and everybody feels comfortable because it's a smaller class. You know, there's only maybe 10 people in there, and they all have the same, you know, they're all talking about the same subject matter, something that you know about. So it's easier to interact with people. And based on those, you know, there's always a break session. You can always talk to them during the break session. You know, it always helps. It makes it easier to strike a conversation, and as well as, you know, add them to your network. And of course, you have to remember, don't be shy. Remember, everyone is there to network. So be active. And just with that, you know, we're going to go into a little bit of etiquette at conferences, because some people are just a little too shy or a little too aggressive, you know, and it's always to the extremes. So the number one rule, don't be shy to approach people. Like I said, everybody is there to network. And that's what you want to do. You want to network, you want to speak with people. Even if you don't get their contact information, just have general conversations, enjoy it, and learn from each conversation, whether it be the subject matter or how you asked a question, or learn from, oh, I should have asked this question, but next time you'll ask a different question, things like that. Rule number two, don't be too aggressive when selling yourself. Don't approach somebody and say, I need a job, can you get me one? Because that's not going to work. People are just going to be like, that's ridiculous, I'm not going to do that, and they'll just walk away. Okay, you don't want to be too aggressive. You're there to build relationships. Okay, you're not trying to get everything out of everybody. You're trying to give something to somebody. Okay. Be the giver, not the taker, and people will reward you for it. Your network will love you for it, and that relationship will be a positive one. Also, when you're building a relationship, you listen and be interested in the subject matter that you're listening, because then you'll connect more with them, and they'll connect with you. Okay, don't just talk to somebody where you're not interested in the subject just to have somebody in your network. Make sure that you know a little bit about the subject and that you're interested in it. And be professional and casual at the same time. I know it's a little difficult. Talk about your profession, talk about business, talk about science, talk about what communications, whatever line you're in. You can talk about that. And also be light. Don't be too professional. Show a lighter side. Make a couple of jokes. Or, you know, one time, you know, at a conference just this past May or May last year, you know, I was in Victoria, you know, Victoria, Canada. And at the conference, you know, people went to watch the hockey game because Vancouver Canucks were in the playoffs. And we all had a great time. We talked a bit about business over dinner, drinks, and then we watched the game. So it was professional and casual, but it made it easier for everybody to strike up a conversation and continue the conversation. And also, ask questions, but not too many questions, just some. Don't ask too many, because if you ask too many and you bombard them with questions and you don't let them answer before you ask the next question, it's going to be a negative relationship. You want it to be that positive relationship. And again, not only do you need to be interested in the subject matter, you need to be knowledgeable in the subject matter. Okay, so that's quite important. If you don't know anything about the subject matter, don't approach the people or don't ask questions. Maybe you can just listen and just say, hey, I'm curious about this. I don't know anything about it, because you're interested in it. But be knowledgeable at some point if you want to talk about it, because there's nothing worse than somebody who talks about something they don't know anything about it, the subject matter. Networking 2.0. Let's look at how we can network in today's internet world and social media world. So again, social media is everywhere, and it allows you to scale your network tenfold, a hundredfold, depending on how driven you are to grow your network online, how much time you want to spend online. My personal favorite for building a professional network and looking into the job world is LinkedIn, because it's built just for that. It's built to build a network for jobs around the world. It opens up to the globe. I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm going to take you there in a second just to show you what LinkedIn is all about and how to use it quickly. But I have my connections are all over the world. I have people in Indonesia, I have people in China, I have people in Japan, I have people in Australia, I have people in the States and Canada, all over. And in South America, it's really great, in Europe, all over. And you can connect on and get to know a world perspective of what's going on. Of course, there's Facebook, but Facebook I find is a little more personal. They're starting to turn into a bit of a better and maybe even the best business tool out there in terms of the Facebook fan page, where you can get information on certain aspects. However, your personal profile is still a little too personal to share. I mean, you have your trip vacation pictures on there and things like that. People can get to know you a little better, but you can't. It's harder to exchange information, I find. It's more of a personal site still. But the Facebook fan page, like we have on Speak Up for Blue, can allow people to get to know what your business is all about. Google Plus, of course, is the newest social media site that's out there. And because it's Google, it's huge. And it's growing at a phenomenal rate. I think they just opened up to the public. They were beta testing for a while, and they opened up to the public in August. Of course, I was one of the ones to join. Right before they went public, and it's growing as a bigger and bigger tool, and it could be a good time to get on Google Plus, because a lot of people are adding each other as fast as they can and trying to build up that network. And you can really build up a network quickly, even though if you don't know the person, you can still build up that network and then start a conversation, a dialogue on it. But still, I think LinkedIn is still the top. There's Twitter, and Twitter is more of a casual sort of social media tool, because it only allows 140 characters in each tweet. But it's I find Twitter, I always compare it to going to the cocktail hour after the conference, where you have short, brief conversations. It could be casual, it could be professional, it could be exchanging information, it doesn't matter. They're just basically a social conversation, and it could be a good way to build your network. However, not many ocean conservation people in that field are on Twitter. I have a lot on there, but they're not as many, and a lot of it's advocacy groups and advocacy people. Of course, Speak Up with Blue has an advocacy and awareness section, so it benefits us that way. I've met a few professionals in my line of work, which is GIS and spatial ecology, but not too many. But it could grow from there, and it would be a good tool to use if more people start to look into that. And of course, YouTube is probably, I find, the most underrated social media site, because YouTube is the second largest search engine. It is owned by Google, and it's only second to the Google search engine. It's really easy to get top searches. Speak Up for Blue, I started to post videos on just random news items in ocean conservation, and within the first week I shot up to the top of the page for certain keywords like ocean conservation. So it's really good to get up at the top. What I like about YouTube is people can get to know me through my videos. Again, going back to that physical connection, they can see you, they get to know how you speak, they get to know your opinions, your facial expressions, what makes you laugh, what doesn't. So you can really form a connection that way. It's more of a one-way connection, but people will contact you over the long run, and you can build relationships through there. So now that we've gone over a brief brief description about each of the major social media sites, I want to take you over to the web, and we're going to discuss a bit about LinkedIn. So just give me a second here. We're going to go. So here we are on the web. Of course, we've got Google here, and just a note for Google Plus. Once you go on the Google page and you're signed in, you know, you can go to your Google page over here where it says Plus Andrew, and you can go to your Google profile. But we're not going to do that right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you over to LinkedIn. So it's www.linkedin.com. And if you know the site, I apologize for this, but this is for people who don't know. So it's www.linkedin.com. It takes me right to my profile, okay, because I'm always signed in. So essentially, this is the first page you go to is typically your wall. It's equivalent to your wall on a Facebook, on your Facebook profile, or when you go on your Facebook account. But what this tells you is it gives you all the updates on who's in your network, what they're doing, who they're connecting with, things like that. You can filter it through coworkers, through people that are sharing, and of course groups, profiles, companies, recommendations, applications, photos. You can take a look at a lot of those things. But right now we're going to go over to the profile, my profile, and I'll give you a brief discussion. So when people look at me up on LinkedIn, this is what they're first going to see. They probably won't see the 90% completeness. That's just for me. But they're going to see this box here where it says Andrew Lewin, founder, Speak Up for Blue, ocean conservationist, ocean scientist, GIS and statistics expert. That tells me who I am. And of course, you have a profile picture with my cute dog here, Riley. And I keep my profile picture the same for all my social media sites just so people can make sure they know who it is and it's not somebody different. Because there are many Andrew Lewins in the world, and which I didn't realize. And then it goes through, this box goes through my current employment. So I'm a board member, a volunteer board member at PACMERA. I'm president of Spatial Conserve, which runs Speak Up for Blue. I'm a volunteer board member with the Pacific Marine Research and Science Afloat Program, an educational organization. Then it goes to the past, my past jobs, which is, you know, a marine spatial ecologist at a consulting firm, another senior scientist at a consulting firm, and a marine technician at a research institute in Louisiana. And of course, it goes through my education, where I did my master's at Acadia, where I did my undergrad at University of Guelph, and it even goes to my high school, Brevoort College School. Then it goes to recommendations. Now, recommendations can be really handy, okay, because that's essentially your references. And I only have one. I should probably try and get more. But what it does, it tells people that you've worked with or people you're associated with that they have something good to say about you. Okay, so when people are looking at you, so say someone in my network knows me, say someone at the Nature, he works at the Nature Conservancy, and I want to get a job with the Nature Conservancy. And I've been building my relationship with this person for 5 or 6 years or even less, and say, look, you know, I'm looking for a job. I really like the Nature Conservancy. He works, say, at a certain chapter. Are there any positions available or coming up that I might know of, or can I talk to somebody? Well, if they go talk to somebody, you know, who's on LinkedIn, and they'll say, hey, you know, I have this friend, Andrew, a colleague of mine who might be a really good fit for in the Nature Conservancy. These are his skill sets and such and such. Well, if that hiring manager is on LinkedIn, they will come and look at my profile, okay? And they'll see a recommendation. The more recommendations you have, especially in your field, from a professor or from a colleague or from an old boss, the better you look on your profile. So those recommendations can really be handy. Then, of course, you get your connections. So this is the size of my network. I've got 500-plus connections. I think I'm actually at about 700 and something. I'm not too sure. But these, it tells you how many people you have in your network. It tells you the websites to go to. So, of course, Spatial Conserve, my company that runs species or Speak Up for the Blue, and it's got my one of my board member, Pacific Marine Research, and then of course it's got Speak Up for Blue. And it's got my Twitter account, and it's got my profile link for this profile. So on LinkedIn, if you were to put this in the browser, it would take you right to this profile. So this box is really important because it's your brief background on what you've done in your life and where you're at in your life and your specialties at the top here where you see, you know, what your titles are and things like that. Now, if people want to find you, before I go into that, I'll go down further. You get your summary. This is like your abstract, okay? You basically describe what you're all about. And the key here is to not only be brief and concise and clear, but also to use certain keywords that you want people to find you. Okay, so for instance, I'm in the ocean conservation industry, okay? Speak Up for the Blue, one of the keywords on Speak Up for Blue to search is ocean conservation, ocean awareness, things like that. Well, in my profile, and I probably don't even have it enough, but I have ocean conservation. My summary, I've got, you know, ocean conservationist, I've got ocean scientist, GIS and statistics expert. So when people want to search for me up in the search bar here, they will, if they want to search for people in ocean conservation, they go to people or groups or anything like that, they're gonna look, and it's always good, just like in Google and search engine optimization, it's always good to be on the first page. So if you scroll down just a little bit, I'm on the first page. Not as high as I want to be, but I'm on the first page. So if people are looking, going down the list, say, who do I want to connect with in ocean conservation? Well, my name is right here, Andrew Lewin, and they can connect that way. And of course, you've got people like David Guggenheim, one of Speak Up for Blue's ocean leaders. You know, people from National Geographic Society and things like that. So, the thing to remember, going back to my profile, the thing to remember here is the more keywords you have, or this is one of those things where the more times you have it in your profile, you don't want to put it in too much, you know, like a spammer, but the more you have it in there, the higher you will rank for that keyword, and the higher you will go. So the higher you go, the people search for you. Like, because I'm on the first page for ocean conservation, people have been starting to add me to their network instead of me always adding them. So I get one or two, sometimes I get three or four per day that want me to be in their network. So, you know, it's always good to have, you know, remember that searching for certain keywords in your field will be a good way to do that. So then you can go down. This is essentially your profile is essentially on LinkedIn is essentially your resume. So I've got all my experiences right down in these columns. And you can really, you know, you can really put in nice descriptions. You can put in bullet points and things like that. I've got updates to Speak Up for Blue here. You know, and there's a bunch of plugins that you can put in. I've got my education. And then, of course, you know, recommendations. You know, so, and then, of course, the groups that I'm a part of. I'm a part of a lot of groups because I post to a lot of groups. You know, the updates to Speak Up for Blue and questions and things like that. We even have our own Speak Up for Blue group. And you can have your own Speak Up for Blue group. But we'll go in that. That's for another course. Social media is its own beast in itself. And it probably deserves a whole other course, which I can probably, I plan on put together, dedicated towards ocean conservation. So it's important to know LinkedIn. If any social media outlet, if you're looking for jobs, LinkedIn is probably the best. So let's go back to the presentation and we'll continue with the networking. Okay, so here we are back at the presentation. Again, you know, check out LinkedIn. You know, take your time with it. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me through the contact us tab on the website in this course, and I can help you go through a little bit of. But again, a course will be coming out probably in the next few months on how to use social media for ocean conservation. So here we go. We got our next. The next slide essentially is to talk about how to sell yourself like a business person when you're looking at your network. And what you don't want to do is you got to realize that businesses sell to make a profit. And when you're in a network and you're looking for a job, you are the business and your salary is the profit. So you want to make sure that you maximize your profit from your network as much as possible. And what you want to do is you want to decrease your effort as much as possible. And what I mean by that is your effort when you're looking for jobs is you're going on all the websites looking for job postings, and there are quite a few out there. You look in our resources, there are quite a few out there. But the problem is you spend all your time looking for these jobs, and you're applying to as many because most people don't have a focus or one or two career path focus yet, but they apply to everything and anything. And when they do that, they spend all their time on creating cover letters and creating resumes and, you know, restructuring them and tweaking them, this and there, and they spend all this effort on applying, and they try and get in with like everybody else through the front door, and they're competing with thousands of other people. Well, the benefit of having a good network is a lot of the times you can contact your people in your network and say, and bypass the whole application process and go right into the interview. So for instance, if I go back to that example where I asked my friend, you know, and colleague to, see if I can meet with somebody, not if there's any positions available, but if I can meet with somebody there to just discuss potentially future collaborations or just discuss business in general and where I might fit in the future, then that's an interview. Okay. You're bypassing that application process and you're keeping yourself separated from the rest of the pack. And that's very important. And your network plays a key role in that situation. So there may not always be a position available, but if you can get the position before it's available, then you're golden and you're way ahead of the game. So what you have to remember too, though, is a business doesn't pitch, it builds relationships. And networking is all about building relationships. There's nothing more important than building relationships in a network. You can't be too aggressive. You take your time, learn from everybody that's in your network, and then feed them information. They will feed you information, and you build a relationship from there. And when it does come time to find a job, your network will be there for you. And we got to remember, building a relationship for the long term is probably more rewarding than the short term. Short term, if you start asking for jobs and start being too aggressive, it's not the relationship's not going to last. The network's not going to last. A long-term relationship with your network, your specialized network, however big it might be, depending on whether you use social media or not, will help you gain that relationship, gain that trust. And once people know that trust, because you got to remember, when somebody refers you to a manager or somebody at their work, that's their reputation on the line. So you're representing not only yourself, but you're representing your person, your network, your friend, and your colleague. So that's important. So they have to trust you. They have to know your work ethic and things like that. So that long-term relationship building really comes into play there. And when you meet somebody at a conference or maybe you just meet through a friend or through work and stuff, leave them with the contact information so they can get a hold of you. And, of course, leave with their contact information. It's very important. Especially if you can get their contact information. Because when you give your contact and your business card or your information, your email address or your phone number to them, it's on them to contact you. But if you have their contact information, when you go home after a couple of days or whatever, if you're on a trip or something, you contact them and say, hey, you know, it's Andrew. I really enjoyed our conversation. Let's keep it up. And here's a paper that I based on our conversation, here's the paper that I told you I'd send you. And, you know, let me know what you think. I thought you'd be interested in it, things like that. The onus is on you to contact. And if you're motivated enough, you will contact them. Don't depend on them contacting you, especially when they don't really know you that well. Some people might contact you, but chances are they might not because they're just either too busy or they just don't want to. But if you make that effort, then it most of the time, 90% of the time, will be reciprocated. So now the last thing I want to look at is how you make sure that you're in the back of the minds of your network, of everybody in your network. And it could be a difficult thing to do. It takes a lot of effort, but it's fairly important because it goes back to that relationship building. The more you actually stay in contact with somebody, the more they're thinking about you. So it's useless if you don't keep, a network is useless if you don't keep in touch with everybody. Because you can have as many people in your network as possible. You can have 50,000 people on your network. But if you don't email them or contact them in some sort of manner, they're really not going to think about you. And it could be very simple contacting. If you find a paper that a certain group of people in your network are interested, that you think they would be interested in, you can send them all at once. and say, hey, you know, I found this paper, thought you'd be interested in it. Or I found this article, I thought you'd be interested in it. You know, let me know what you think. And people will start a discussion off that. But you have to show your network that you're thinking about them. When you show someone you're thinking about them, they feel important and they want to reciprocate that importance. They want to reciprocate that gratitude so that you will feel just as important. So it's a positive relationship. And there's really two ways to keep in touch. One, email. You know, you're emailing resources, papers, information that's interesting to specific individuals. So when you're doing it by email, you'll have a contact list. Don't email your entire contact list the same information all the time, because there might be some people in their in your contact list that may not be interested in one subject matter. So for instance, in mine, because I meet so many on my contact list, because I meet so many people through Speak Up for Blue, you know, I've got hundreds of people on my contact list. But I know I group them by themes and by interests. So I know certain people may not want me to send them a scientific journal because they're not really scientists and they won't understand it. You know, there'll just be a question mark coming back on an email. What you want to do is you want to make sure that you're sending information to these particular people that they'll be interested in it, that they gain value from it, because that's how you stay in the back of their minds. Then you can also post information on your social network sites. Okay, on Facebook, you can do it. On LinkedIn, especially, you can do it. And what's interesting about LinkedIn is that when you post on your profile a particular article, and say on the web, you can actually share it with all the groups that you're a part of. So I'm part of 20-some-odd groups. I can pick and choose which group I want to share it with based on the interest of that group. And so not only are you sending it to everybody in your profile, so I've got, you know, 700 connections, but I'm also scaling that reach by sending it to everybody in the groups who may not necessarily be in my network, my personal network, but will be in these groups, and they all get to see it and they can comment it on things like that. So you can really get a feel for what people will comment on. And when I started blogging, you know, for looking at jobs, and one of the reasons why I did this course was because I would post them in these groups, post these blogs about getting a job in ocean conservation, and people kept coming back and asking questions and saying, this is really good information, I want to know more. So it could work with anything. You know, I've posted articles on shark fin soup, getting really good conversations out of it from all over the world. So it's been really helpful to do that kind of thing. So posting on your social network can really expand your reach and reaching people and increase your network as well. So again, the information that you pass on to people can generate discussions, but make sure that, you know, it's going to be important to them. And what it does, it can increase your chances of leading to a job. So people are thinking about you all the time. And if you just all of a sudden post to some people or email some people, hey, you know, we have the same kind of interest in jobs, I'm looking for a job. If anybody sees anything out there that might be interesting or know a job coming down the pipe, you know, can you send it my way or let me know I'm interested? Don't send it to everybody. Send it to the people who would actually take value in it and would actually be able to help you out. You know, if I'm a GIS person, I'm not going to send an email to somebody that I know who's an ocean communicator. You know, unless that person works at a place of work where a lot of GIS is done and statistics is done, I'm not going to do that unless they're doing that. So you got to think about who you're going to send to. Then what you want to do is, because you're in the back of the minds of everybody, people will send you jobs. They will send you job advertisements. I have people sending me job advertisements all the time, even when I'm not looking for a job, because I'm always interested in what kind of jobs are out there. Not the fact that I want to take it, I just want to see the general trends. Because I'm doing this course, I want to kind of, you know, see who's hiring what and what organizations are going which way. That tells me a lot about people. But people, the point is people send it to me all the time because they think of me, because I'm always contacting them. Either I'm saying, let's meet for a call, or let's Skype. And let's see what you're up to. I just want to know what you're up to. Nothing special, just curious. And they want to know the same about me. So I'm always getting that kind of, that kind of reciprocated information. So it's great to have. So anyway, so that's networking in a nutshell. We covered a lot. Take your time. Go through the slides again. Go through the video again. Go on LinkedIn and really look at what you're you know, what you need to do to set up your profile if you haven't already set it up. Or if you have set it up, start looking around, start doing searches for people, and really gaining that knowledge of trying to add people to your connection, to your network, connect with people, join groups, so that you can connect with more people, participate in the groups. Don't just join a group for the sake of it. That's going to be worthless. Participate in the group. It really helps out. And then from there, you know, you'll see what happens. You'll see people starting to add you, and your network will grow. And then you can start getting in touch with them and exchanging information and so forth. But that's your call to action for this video, is get on a social network, especially LinkedIn, and go for it. Start connecting with people and start sharing information, and they'll share with you and things like that. So, and good luck. And if you have any questions, you know, feel free to contact us. So that's module 6. Next module will be module 7. We're going to look at experience and how to gain the proper experience.